I want to read one scripture for you. And it's in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature." Or the new NIV says, "new creation." "The old have passed away. Behold, new things have come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at your word today, we ask a blessing upon it. That you would just continue to your spirit to work in each heart now, Lord, along with your inspired and infallible word, that we might grow and change. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to tell you that the Challenge Ministry and just hearing what we do at the Covenant Home and all ties into a little bit of what I was going to say in the beginning, that when I was a little boy, there was a Christian family in the neighborhood that saw a family of five, and they decided to go to my mother and ask that we could go to church. And so we went to Bethany Presbyterian Church. Back then it was a very conservative church. And every morning, on Sunday morning, we would get up and pretty much go to Sunday school. I don't know if we went to church that much, but we went to Sunday school. And at the end of the Sunday school period, and they would have a graduation ceremony, they would give each of us little kids a Bible. A little Bible, a New Testament. And we would take them, and I don't know what I did with them. I probably didn't read it. I went home, and I over the years, we collected these Bibles. We only went till we were about 12 years old. Then we kind of dropped out. We didn't go after that. It wasn't until later I got involved in the church and became saved. But at the end, they had all these Bibles there. And I remember going down and playing in the basement, and there was the Bibles lined up. We never got rid of them because you can't get rid of the Bible. Right? So they were all there. Well, after I got saved, and I was 18 years old when I became a Christian, I decided, well, maybe those Bibles are still there. And I didn't know if they were or not, but I went down there, and there wasn't a whole lot of Bibles there, but I found one. And it's right here, the Bible. And I've kept it since I've been a Christian for many years, over 40 years. And in the Bible, it says, "Presented to Joseph Charles Paul, June 14, 1959, Bethany Presbyterian Sunday School." And then Miss Gladys, who happened to be Gladys Manley, she wrote on the side of it, "Even a child is known by his doings," Proverbs 20:11. So I had this Bible to remind me that God was already at work in my life when I was a child. So what Challenge Farm is doing and what we're doing at the Covenant Home is very, very, very significant in the life of children. It makes an impression on them. That whether God's hand was upon me, I really believe it was, because I got saved when I was 18. And that night I was saved, I felt called to the gospel ministry. And I've been doing that ever since. Going to Bible college, going to seminary, and all those things. Being a Navy chaplain for 20 years and all those other things, hospice, and now I'm a trauma chaplain. But all those years, I didn't know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. I did not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't understand what Jesus did for me. I heard the Bible stories in Sunday school, but I didn't know Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. It wasn't, as I said, until I was 18 years old that the Spirit of God worked in my life, convicted me of my sin, that I was saved as I believed in the gospel. The minute I believed in Jesus, I was changed. I became a whole new person. I could not explain it, but as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I was now in Christ. I was truly reconciled to God. I was a brand new creation. I became a brand new person, a new creation with a new heart of obedience for God, with a new nature. I began to see things differently. For I now personally knew my God, and my God knew me, because he led me to a trust and belief in his Son, Jesus Christ. I didn't really want to do the old things anymore. I don't want them in my life. And some of that was like living to self, being selfish, doing all those things. I didn't really want to do them anymore. I had no desire because they had passed away. and behold, new things had come into my life. I wanted to read God's Word, believe it or not. Even those years that were sitting on the shelf, I didn't read it. We just got them, and it was like a little keepsake, and we took it and put it in the basement. But yet now I wanted to read God's Word, God's Holy Word. I wanted to go to church. I wanted to live for Jesus Christ. I wanted to pray to my God. Prayer became very important to my God. And then, believe it or not, I actually got involved in a little fundamentalist church, a little Baptist church. They called it the Independent Church. And I became a member. And I thought, as a member, you were supposed to go to everything. Sunday school, church, prayer meeting on Wednesday night, evening church, and all that. But I always noticed that the most people we had was at morning church. Evening church was half of that. The prayer meeting was about a quarter of that. But I thought, as a new Christian, you had to go to everything because you became a member of that church. And you see, I really did believe that the Holy Spirit led me to Jesus Christ when he came and died for my sin and was buried and raised again for me. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. I was dead to sin and no longer a slave to sin, but now I wanted to follow Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, once you give your life to Jesus Christ, you cannot help but be changed, for all the things you thought were important to you are now gone. They have passed away. And now you desire to give up your life to Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has given his life to you. You see, everyone here who is a Christian has a testimony of how God led you to Jesus Christ and how you were saved. And I would say, and I would recommend wholeheartedly, use your testimony when you talk to unbelievers of how Christ saved you. It's probably one of the most powerful witnesses you have is your own personal testimony. Some of you might not have the greatest testimony, but I can tell you this, every testimony is great because everybody who believes in Christ is a miracle. Everybody. The moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, when you confessed your sin, you repented and believed that Jesus died on the cross and was buried and risen again for you, many changes happen. One change that you might not notice at first as a new creature or new creation was that you lost your citizenship here on earth. We read in Scripture that believers in Jesus Christ have become aliens and strangers in the world. Peter tells his readers the first chapter of this letter to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered through Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia and Asia and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus Christ and the sprinkling of his blood. We're set apart from the world right away once you believe in Christ. Yet, we are to serve Jesus in this world. Another way of saying it is that we are in the world, yet not of the world. Jesus gave you a whole new way of living. He not only gave you a new citizenship or home, but he also gave you a new nature, a new birth, by the sanctifying, regenerating work of the Spirit, which led you to a new relationship with God. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says this about our citizenship and our new land. It says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. You see, we're new citizens, and our homeland is heaven, and our goal is just to be like Jesus Christ. We are aliens or foreigners, and we just do not fit in this world anymore. Christians, if you're living obedient lives for Jesus Christ, you will stand out in the crowd and draw attention with your life and your lips, since you are bought with a price, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are not our own. Jesus owns us. Jesus owns us. And the questions I have for you is this, is do people in the world and in this community know that you are a Christian? How is your testimony for Jesus Christ to those all around you? What is your witness for Jesus like? How important are your treasures here on earth? Are your possessions more important to you than your faith in Jesus Christ? The old things have passed away. Behold, everything is new in Christ. Let me illustrate how fleeting the things of earth are. And I'm going to use something in my pocket. a dollar bill. Okay? It's a dollar bill. George is on it. I think. Yeah? I'm not going to pull out a 50. When I was a little boy, back in the 50s, my mother would give me a dollar bill and tell me to go to the corner store and buy a half a gallon of milk, a dozen eggs, and bread with a dollar, right? And if I had change, I would be able to go buy some pork roll. I'll tell you what pork roll is later. And I could get four slices of pork roll because I had it down. And that was back in the 50s, and I had this dollar bill. Flash to today, okay? Flash to today. Mario says to me, go buy a half a gallon of milk, bread, a dozen eggs, and then I'll sneak in some pork roll. She won't ask me for that. And I'll take out my debit card. We don't even need any money anymore to buy things. We got this. And you won't get much for that either. Well, how much do you think that costs today? $10? Pork roll's kind of expensive, but you don't know about pork roll. It's about 10, 12 bucks, right? Almost 12 times the amount of what you did in the 50s. What has happened to our money? Is it passing away? What about our cars? You know, when you go out and buy a brand new shiny car, in the 50s, I think it was $3,000, I think. Something like that, $3,000, $4,000. I think you can't find one for $25 to $30 now, or unless you get a real cheap one, right? Okay, what happens when you take it off the lot? Depreciates. Depreciates like that, right? And then what happens in a couple years? You got to get some new tires. You got to fix them. They don't stay good. They pass away. Right? What about our bodies? How many years? I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands, but how many of you? Because I, you know, that's what they do in the Baptist church. But but what do they? I'm just kidding. How many of you are taking prescription drugs? He raises his hand. Okay, our bodies are breaking down. They're going to pass away and they're going to die, right? We know if we're Christians, we're going to have immortal bodies. We're going to have incorruptible bodies. We're going to have bodies that will last forever in eternal life. But they're passing away. They're failing us. Now let's go back and look at the fact that when we're Christians, and you start putting treasures here on earth, but for God, will they pass away? When you support a child in challenge form, will that pass away? No. When you give tithe to the church, will that pass away? No. When you witness to Jesus for Jesus Christ out in the world, will that pass away? No. Those are the new things we're talking about in this verse. Behold, new things are going to come to us. They're going to come to us. And you know, we're going to lose and lose, and before the long we come in our Christian faith, we're not going to want to do those old things anymore. Are you tired of sinning? We don't want to do that anymore. And as you become more and more to the likeness and image of Jesus Christ, because that's our goal, is then we will not want to do the old things. They'll pass away. We'll pass away, no matter what we have. So here's a question for you. How about building treasures for Christ here on earth that will last for eternity? How about those incorruptible bodies that we're all going to possess in the new heaven and new earth? How about the changes you've seen once you became a new creation, once you believed in Christ? How about that? To just live that newness of life every day. For the mercies of God are new every morning. Every morning. And there are people who say they believe in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, and yet they don't practice that profession every day of the week. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm a Christian, but it's a lot harder to actually live out that profession in becoming a witness for Jesus Christ. Jesus notices that. Keith has preached on this in Matthew 7, 21 through 23. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You see, if you are a new creation in Christ, if you're a Christian, how have you been following Jesus lately? And how have you been taking up your cross? You know, the last time I checked, being a Christian, we have to surrender our entire lives to Christ. Totally. Totally committed to Jesus Christ and surrender our lives to Christ. What does that mean? That doesn't only mean our lives, that's our possessions, everything. Everything we have, God owns it. Everything. And we need to kind of surrender. We need to surrender our lives to Christ. We need to surrender our lives to Christ. You see, if you're a Christian, you have been born not of flesh and blood, but by the Holy Spirit. That's regeneration. We need to be born again or born anew. And first, being a new creation means that we have a new birth in Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus tells Nicodemus in John 3, 1 through 12, doesn't he? That we are born again if we believe in him. I just want to read the story, and I know you know it, but I want to read it. It says this: there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these things than unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, one's a new creation, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is how we become born again, by believing in Jesus Christ alone for salvation in Christ. The phrase in our verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, in Christ, that if any man is in Christ, is so important, for we cannot be saved from our sin without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who was buried, died, and raised again for us. We cannot do any earthly thing. We cannot be saved by any good work to become saved, but we can only believe by faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, who came from above and came down to this earth to live a perfect life and provide a righteousness which we needed. He went to the cross to pay for our sin and rose again to defeat sin and death once and for all, so that we can live a new life in Christ. And the question I have for you is this. It's a crucial question. Are you 100% sure that you personally have trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? I knew about Jesus Christ, but I didn't know him in a personal way when I was a young boy. Are you a new creation in Christ? Old things have passed away. Behold, old things have become new. All born again means is to be born from above. Jesus tells Nicodemus that when a person is born again or saved, it is not from this world that he or she is saved or born again, but from heaven and heaven alone. The plan of salvation begins in heaven. And the Spirit of God regenerates all believers with a completely new nature or a new birth, changing our hearts so that we live for God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus thought that you had to enter into your mother's womb again. And when Jesus said you must be born again, and Jesus tells him that he is not talking about earthly things, but heavenly things, you must be born again or born from above. The second thing is being a new creation leads to us a new way of life, a new way to live. I don't know, several times in the New Testament, over and over and over again, you see it in the Old Testament too, of all the instructions for believers how to live. And I'm telling you, every time you see that, it's about newness of life. God just doesn't save us, and here we are in a vacuum. He tells us how to live the Christian life. He doesn't just say, okay, you're saved. You're not going to go to hell anymore. That's it. He wants us to serve. He wants us to serve Him. And one of the passages is so crucial is Ephesians 4, 17, 5 through 2. And I'm not going to read through it, but Paul tells us about this changed life or new way to live. We are made new in verse 23. We have put on the new self, he says, in the attitude of our minds, that we put on our new self or new nature, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We are not to live like unbelievers, but to Christ. Paul goes to speak about these verses. He says, we're not going to close the lie, but speak the truth. We're not to steal, but work for our wages. We're to get rid of all bitterness and rage and anger and brawling. Those are all the old things. And slander. But we're going to be kind and forgiving to one another. Even as Jesus forgave us at the cross. He even tells us to love as Jesus loved us. You see, it's so crucial that God doesn't say, don't do this without telling us to do something. Put off the old nature. Put on the new nature. The new birth that you have. This is the new heart we possess. Once we believe in Jesus Christ. And with this new heart comes a change. A new way of life for everyone who believes in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord. Are you truly a citizen of heaven? This is not our home. Everything here is passing away. Behold, all things are new. And they only come new in Jesus Christ. In Christ, you're a new creation. Paul uses that phrase, in Christ, several times. Just go to the book of Ephesians. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ. We would be nothing without Christ. We can do nothing apart from Jesus Christ that we see in the Gospels. We can't do anything. So how do we practically show forth to the world that we are different and thus have a dynamic witness in the world? We are a new creation. Our role here on earth is to represent King Jesus as his ambassadors, reconcile the world to God. Paul tells us in this context, as we read in our responsive reading, about this ministry of reconciliation that we're supposed to have. We're supposed to have this ministry of reconciliation that Christ gave it to us. And it says this, we at first, therefore, are Christ's ambassadors as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him to be, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, that's Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. People of God will take notice of you, that you are a changed person by the way you live. True believers in Jesus Christ are a new creation by way of new nature, a new nature which leads us to be totally reconciled to God, and thus we become his witnesses here on earth. We are to put off the old nature, having been slaves to sin, and put on the new nature, now being slaves to righteousness, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. We are to seek the things above and not the things on earth, in Colossians 3:1. We are to lay up treasures in heaven which last forever and ever, and not build our kingdoms here on earth, where moth comes and destroys all our possessions, for they do not last. We are to seek God's kingdom first, as Matthew 6:33 states, and all these things will be taken care of. True believers are students of God's inspired word. True believers see growth in their lives as they are formed to the image and likeness of Christ. How is your walk? Are you growing into the likeness of Jesus Christ? Do people in the world see Jesus Christ in you? Think about that phrase that, you know, we're a new creation. Think of what God did for you when he saved you from your sins. Think about that. Start thinking as citizens of heaven so that we can become dynamic witnesses to the world. We need to stand up for Jesus Christ in this sinful world. We need not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We don't have to fear anybody. Speak the gospel to people as you go, wherever you go. That's what the Great Commission talks about. As you are going, tell people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we need to live as holy people. We need to have credibility in our message as Christians. I was reading in the paper, I guess there's some church that to get rid of the homeless people, they use sprinklers to get rid of them. I read that. Amazing. I don't know what type of church it was. I didn't get into it, but I'm just saying. How do we love those kind of people that are unlovely? How do we love those people? Jesus, Matthew 5, 43 and 48 is such a convicting passage because Jesus is talking to the citizens of heaven, his followers who believed in him. And he tells people some amazing truths. He tells them and us, if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other cheek. If someone wants to sue you and take your tunic, let them have your coat as well. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. And then Jesus tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute you. We should love the people who actually are hard to love and hard to get along with in this world. And if we do, think of the kind of witness to the world we would have for Jesus Christ. My Christian friends, how have you been living lately for Jesus Christ? I don't know about you, but Jesus hung around some nasty people. Us. Sinners. Right? He hung around us. He took the time to talk to us about the gospel. He healed the lepers. He did everything. He cast the demons out. You know how we as Christians are going to show the world that we should not retaliate, but throw love at our enemies. Not getting back, but loving them into the kingdom. And we can only do this by recognizing that we are not of this world. We are a new creation. We are ambassadors for King Jesus as we are filled with the Spirit of God so that we can have the power and strength to serve Jesus Christ. And I think the second way in which we live as citizens of heaven, as new creatures or new creation, is this. And I read Mark 9, 33-35. It says, they came to Capernaum. When he, Jesus, was in the house, he asked them, his disciples, what were you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about whom was the greatest. Sounds like us, huh? Sitting down, Jesus calls the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the very last and servant of all. I really do believe we still got to learn to be servants of Jesus Christ. Servants of Jesus Christ. I think of John chapter 13 and how, you know, Jesus was washing the feet of the disciples. Our master, our Lord, doing that. In this world, we all want to be number one. We want to be number one. We want to be number one in everything we do. Because that's what self says. That's the old things. We're supposed to put, as Jesus says, and even in Philippians 2, we should have the attitude of our minds, what? To put others before us. To be put others before us. And I think, really, all over and over again, we have to understand that our old natures have a tendency to take over at times. And when we get in situations where we want to be first, or we want to do this, or we want to do that, we got to recognize that's the old nature. When we want to put others before ourselves, that's the new nature. And you know when you're doing this is wrong or right. You know, because the Holy Spirit is dwelling inside us, convicting us of how to live. And I do think, as living as a new creation, a citizen of heaven, we should recognize that God has given you a new way of life in his kingdom. We have an opportunity to serve Jesus Christ. What a blessing that truly is. What a blessing it is. If anyone wants to be first, he must be very last, a servant of all. Or another passage says this, but many that are first will be last, and many that are last shall be first. What a witness we would be if we take this one truth, we place it in our hearts and our lives, and we're realizing that even if we want to be first in this world, it's only temporary. It's passing. And you look at anybody. I was in the Navy 20 years, and Master Chiefs were on the top of the world. But when they get to 30 years, they're like everybody else. They have to retire. Right? It's temporary. And I'm telling you this because I really believe sometimes we tend to want it. You know, we get our jobs and we get in situations with our jobs and we don't get that promotion and we're upset. Who cares? Isn't God in control of our lives? God's in control of everything. He's going to take care of us no matter what happens to us. But if we had that servant attitude, think about the witness you would have for Jesus Christ. So in closing, how have you been living lately? You know, when Jesus saves us from our sins, we are a changed person. Old things pass away, and behold, new things come in our life. Have you noticed changes in your life? Have you been living for God's kingdom as citizens of heaven? We are just sojourners, for this world is not our home. Not here. Our home's some better. Way better. How has your Christian life been going lately? Are you still excited about how God's bringing new things into your life, even now? Or do we take them for granted? Sometimes we do. Has anyone noticed that you are different from the ways of this world because you are a Christian? Do people see Jesus Christ in you? I think that's probably the highest compliment a Christian can receive, is people see Christ in your life as you demonstrate it to the world. And when people see that, they're going to wonder why you're so different. And they're going to ask you why, and you're going to have such an opportunity to witness. You know, I don't know why I didn't become a Christian when I went to Sunday school back then, but I know why, because God is the one that saves us, not us. We're not saved by works. We're saved by how God works in our heart. I really believe that. And He had His hand on my life, and when I was 18, I did become a Christian and went off to Bible college and seminary and became a minister of the gospel. But I don't know why that. Why wouldn't I have been saved there all those years I would have had in Christ? But I didn't. And some of you came to Christ in late life. Some of you came to Christ when you were born in a Christian home. But the important thing is what you do with your Christian faith is so crucial of wherever you come into Christ and how your witness is in the world. I fail every day. We all fail. But God picks us up and He forgives us, and we get out there and we do it again and again and again. And I have to say to you this, if you are here and you really aren't sure that you are a Christian, 100% sure that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, and you've heard about it, you know about it, but you don't know for sure, then I would really recommend that you talk to one of the elders so that we can talk to you about the gospel of Jesus Christ and how God can work in your heart and change your life forever. Once you believe in Jesus, your life will be changed forever and ever. And I can promise you this, He'll give you a new way to live. And Christian, remember your roots, your spiritual roots, and live it a new way because of your new nature, your birth and relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. He makes all the difference in our lives. We give Him